I want to present a message tonight that will shed some light on the biblical subject of the last days. Many times I've heard that the church age was the last days, or that, you know, some people refer to the church age as the last days. And this understanding of the last days is the result of not understanding the difference between prophecy and the mystery. For example, we find in Matthew chapter 24, verse 13 and 14, "But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come." One of the common misapplications to this verse is to say that he that endures to the end of his life will be saved, which of course it is not what it means, because if that's the case, then our works determine our acceptance before God, and that flies in the face of Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." So enduring to the end of your life is not consistent with the gospel of the grace of God. Because if you have to endure, then that means you have to persevere, you have to... If you ever get discouraged and you want to feel like you want to give up, you're not enduring, you see. And plenty of Christians in this day and age get discouraged. And also Titus 3:5, "Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us." So if it's by mercy, then this concept of enduring has to do with someone else. Now when you see "unto the end" in your Bibles, it never means the end of your life. It never means the end of the church age, when the church is raptured out of here. It always refers to the end of the tribulation period. Enduring unto the end is something that is unique to the gospel of the kingdom. Verse 14, "And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come." So this verse identifies which gospel is being preached before the end comes. The end is the end of the tribulation period, because we do know that the end of the church age is not the end of everything. The end of the church age is actually the beginning of the tribulation period, which is the beginning of the end. And so when he says endure to the end, he means the end of the end, which is the end of the tribulation period, which you will not be present during that period of time. Now, some have thought that because Peter said, "And it shall come to pass in the last days," in Acts chapter 2, that he was referring to the church age as the last days, but that also is from not understanding the difference between prophecy and the mystery. Peter said that what was happening was the fulfillment of Joel's prophecy, and any honest student of the Bible will tell you that when Joel prophesied, he prophesied the day of the Lord and not the beginning of a church age. So while Peter spoke in Acts chapter 2, there was a mystery that was hid in God that would not be revealed until Saul of Tarsus was converted and given the revelation of the mystery by Jesus Christ directly. So to understand what the last days are, I put together a PowerPoint presentation that will help you to see and to understand exactly how the Bible unfolds the truth of the last days to us. Now, before I begin, let me say this to those who are listening and watching this on the internet, that we are assuming that you are familiar with the three previous presentations that have gone before this. If you have jumped to this presentation without listening to the first three, we highly recommend that you go back and listen to the first three and familiarize yourself with the concepts and the fundamentals of right division before you jump into this one, because this one does get a little deeper into right division. So let me remind you that when Peter spoke those words in Acts chapter 2, he was referring to what the prophets had foretold. What they taught was that Jesus Christ would come, that he would die, that he would be buried, that he would rise from the dead, and that he would ascend into heaven, and that the earth would go through the Daniel's 70th week, the 7-year tribulation period, and Jesus Christ would return at the end of that to destroy the armies of the Antichrist, and then he would set up his millennial kingdom as had been promised in the prophets of the Old Testament. So we will begin now, and the last days, go ahead and click once. The last days began when John the Baptist arrived on the scene. When John the Baptist said, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand," it officially started the clock ticking in the last days. All right? The prophets had said that one would come and prepare the way of the Lord. We read in Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 3, "The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God." That was a prophecy of John the Baptist. Isaiah chapter 5, or verse 5 of Isaiah chapter 40, continues with, "And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it." Now, no wonder that John begins his gospel, John chapter 1, verse 1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, the same was in the beginning with God, and the Word was made flesh, and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of him, and cried, saying that was he of whom I spake, he that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me." The one John says who is coming before me will be preferred before me. He'll be desired before me, and the reason for that is, according to John chapter 1 and verse 15, he was before me. John the Baptist knew that although he had been born 6 months before Jesus Christ, that the one he was preparing the way for was still before him. Because we read in Micah chapter 5 and verse 2, "But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting." So here comes this one, after John the Baptist announces him, who is God in the flesh, who the prophets had said would come. The prophets had spoken of the last days, and the last days began with John the Baptist coming onto the scene, introducing the Messiah to Israel. And the Messiah coming to Israel is preceded by this John the Baptist, who would announce the coming of the Promised One. Now the last days continued, go ahead and click once, through the cross. It was prophesied that the Messiah would die for the sins of the nation, and after his death, go ahead, click, that he would ascend up to heaven. After his ascension, he sent the Holy Spirit. Go ahead and click. At Pentecost, the Holy Spirit was sent for the purpose of empowering the little flock to go forth with the renewed offer of the kingdom to Israel. After the Holy Spirit descended, Peter stood up, and go ahead and click, and he said this. Peter said, "This is that." Well, what was he talking about? Well, he's talking about the prophecy of Joel. And what did Joel talk about? What was Joel referring to? Well, go ahead and click. Joel was referring to the 7-year tribulation. He was referring to the time of Jacob's trouble. He was referring to Daniel's 70th week. All those three things in the Word of God are referring to the same period of time. This is what the prophets had spoken of, and this is all that Peter knew was happening. His only point of reference when he spoke, "This is that," is not the revelation of the church later on, but it's the understanding of what the prophets had said would come. Peter stands up on the day of Pentecost and he says, "This is that." And that was God's prophetic program, and it was unfolding exactly as it had been prophesied in the prophets of the Old Testament. At the end of the 7-year period, go ahead and click, Jesus Christ was going to return and set up his millennial kingdom. Now, this span of time, go ahead and click, from John the Baptist to the return of Christ was what the prophets had said would be the last days. This span of time is what Peter was referring to when he said in verse 17, "And it shall come to pass in the last days." Notice in this diagram, there is no church age. That is a mystery that is hidden God, that Peter knew nothing about, that will only be revealed to the Apostle Paul after Acts chapter 9, after the Apostle Paul gets saved. It had not entered into any man's heart, and no man ever knew or even thought of a church age. Now, I spoke to an old friend a while back who said that although the church of the one body was a secret that was hidden God when the Holy Spirit was poured out at Pentecost, doesn't mean that the church could not have existed. Well, that's not an accurate statement. That's like saying that although the apostles of Christ were told not to go to the Gentiles by Jesus Christ, doesn't mean they didn't go. Well, of course they didn't go, because they were told not to go. But now you don't find a church in there, and we know that according to time past, that the church could not have existed if there was a distinction between Jews and Gentiles. See, or saying that the church existed even though it was a secret, wasn't revealed to Paul yet, is like saying that although the disciples of Christ weren't preaching the gospel of the kingdom, doesn't mean that the gospel of the grace of God wasn't being preached also. No, the gospel of the grace of God was not being preached in Acts chapter 2, because that was something that was revealed to Paul, and he's the one who would introduce that gospel to the world, no one else. All they understood was this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness, then shall the end come. So the gospel of the grace of God was revealed to the Apostle Paul only after Acts chapter 9, and those who preached the gospel of the kingdom did not preach the gospel of the grace of God. So here you have a diagram of the last days. It does not include a church age, because the church was a secret that was hidden God throughout the writings of the Old Testament. What you're looking at is a description of Old Testament prophecy. That's all they saw. They saw the first coming of Christ, they saw the return of Christ, but they never saw anything in between. They did not see a church age. So, at the end of the church age, after the return of Christ, and at the end of Daniel's 70th week, go ahead and click, Jesus Christ would return and enter into his millennial kingdom, the 1,000-year reign of Christ. Now, what you're looking at is exactly how prophecy was supposed to unfold, but something happened in God's prophetic program. This did not take God by surprise. Go ahead and click. The last days were interrupted. Everything was going according to plan. John the Baptist introduced Israel's Messiah. He died for the sins of the nation. He rose from the dead and ascended up into heaven. He sent the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. The little flock, which included Peter and his group, preached to Israel the message of repentance for the murder of their king, and the prophetic plan was going along according to plan until a glitch in the plan changed everything. As they were preaching to the leaders of Israel, go ahead and click, the leaders of Israel stoned Stephen. God began to turn away from Israel, and God saved his most vicious enemy in Acts chapter 9, Saul of Tarsus, who became the Apostle Paul. Here the prophetic program takes a twist that no one anticipated. Go ahead and click. Enter the church age. Now, we've been in the church age for 2,000 years or so and counting. This is what Peter never knew anything about until God saved the Apostle Paul. Paul was the master builder of the foundation of the church of the one body. Paul said, "I have laid the foundation." He's referring to that foundation of the church. Not the foundation of Zion that Peter had laid, but the foundation of the church age. At the end of the church age, go ahead and click, The body of Christ will be raptured out of here, and go ahead and click. The last days will be reinstated. God will begin to deal with Israel again, and this period of time, this is called the tribulation period, the time of Jacob's trouble, Daniel's 70th week. Now, when the Bible speaks of the last days, it is referring to what was going to take place right after Pentecost, was interrupted upon the stoning of Stephen, and will be reintroduced after the rapture of the church. At the end of the 7 years, which Peter thought was happening in Acts chapter 2, go ahead and click, the day of the Lord will finally happen when Jesus Christ returns to destroy the armies of the Antichrist. You see, the first time the last days is referred to in Acts, go ahead and clicks, is part of prophecy. It's what the Bible calls time past, all the way from Genesis to Acts chapter 8, refers to that span of time. This was the subject of God's prophets throughout the Old Testament prophetic writings. Prophecy included the establishment of the prophesied kingdom. When the program is interrupted upon the stoning of Stephen, go ahead and click, the mystery that was hid in God is revealed to the Apostle Paul, and this time frame is called the but now period. That's the time frame that you and I live in. And after the but now period, after Paul receives the revelation of the mystery, if Paul had written a doctrinal statement during his time, it would have said this. Go ahead and click. During the but now period, to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. Now, how clear is that? He knows something here that no one had ever known before. And his purpose and his ministry was designed to set this forth before men, to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery. He had also said in Romans chapter 16 and verse 25 and 26, now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. Now, Paul's passion as an ex-Pharisee were the scriptures. He knew the prophecies concerning Israel's Messiah and their glorious kingdom. But when he found out that God had a mystery, God had a secret that was hidden God, he was happy to know that he was the messenger of this new revelation that was revealed to him. Can you imagine studying the scriptures under Gamaliel like the Apostle Paul had? And he had been taught what he considered everything the Bible had to teach. You see, he thought he had the sum total of all knowledge that there was in God. And then just to think that there was something that was hidden God, that the Gentiles would be fellow heirs and would be fellowshipping with the Jews, that must have flabbergasted Paul to learn that the Gentiles would be coming into this. And then the mystery of the rapture was revealed to the Apostle Paul. He put it like this in 1 Corinthians 15:51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. And when the church is raptured out of here, and the mystery program is over, go ahead and click, prophecy resumes. Prophecy has to do with the last days, and when that's reinstated, it belongs to that category that the Bible called the ages to come. God's program will continue exactly where it left off when Israel stoned Stephen in Acts chapter 7. had they not stoned Stephen, go ahead and click. This is exactly what would have unfolded in the words of Matthew chapter 24, go ahead and click, 24 verse 13 and 14, but he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. Now notice in verse 13 that when Israel is concerned, certain things are required. He that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. Now you know that that can't be talking about you during the church age. As I've already alluded to, according to the gospel of the grace of God, your salvation is not based on your enduring anything. Your salvation is based on the fact that you have trusted Jesus Christ to save you and nothing else. Nothing you do can add to your salvation. Nothing you do can take away from the free gift that you have in Christ. As a matter of fact, if you try to add anything to God's free gift of salvation, you are insulting Him. You are casting a shadow upon the finished work of the cross of Jesus Christ, and you're casting a shadow upon the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, a lot of people think that they need to add things to the work of the cross, think that they need to fulfill certain things. You know, I know that we all want to be pleasing to God and that we all want God to know that we love Him. However, nothing we do in the power of our flesh can ever convince God that we love Him. We can never be pleasing to God because we are doing and doing and doing. The only thing that pleases God is His Son. Now you remember how at His baptism, the Lord, there came a voice out of heaven said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And if you want to be well pleasing to God, if you want to please God, if you want God to know that you love Him, then believe that God gave His Son to die on the cross of Calvary for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will be accepted in Christ. And when you are accepted in the Beloved, that's when you become pleasing to God. If you want to be pleasing to God, stop doing and simply believe that He has done it all, and all you have to do is rest in the finished work of Calvary. Now, that does not mean that you don't do good things. It does mean that you understand that any good thing you do does not add to what Jesus Christ has done for you. Okay, but we're not supposed to stop living, we're not supposed to not walk worthy of the vocation wherewith we've been called. We do walk worthy of the vocation wherewith we've been called. But walking worthy does not add to what Jesus Christ has done if you're in Christ. If you slip up, if you fail, if you get discouraged, if you get thoughts you know don't belong in your head, you're forgiven in Christ. The blood of Christ has forgiven you. Ephesians 1:7, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. So being in Christ, that pleases God. But for Israel, they must endure until the end. And at the time that this was written in Matthew chapter 24, the only prophetic understanding that anyone had on earth, the only point of reference that they could understand what was happening in their world in that day, was they had to look back to what the prophets had written, and that is how that they got their understanding of what was going on. See, after the death of the Messiah, after the cross, they would experience Daniel's 70th week, the 7-year tribulation, and the time of Jacob's trouble. And their requirement to obtain the salvation as a nation was to endure unto the end. Go ahead and click. Peter said, and Peter said it like this, and don't forget that Peter was a minister of the circumcision. Peter was a minister to the Jews. That's Galatians chapter 2, verses 7 through 9. He was a preacher to Israel, not to the church. Now, that's something that some people may not understand, but if you read your Bible, you'll find it there. It's very clear, Acts chapter 2, verse 7 to 9. And so Peter was to Israel. Paul was the apostle to the Gentiles. Romans chapter 11, verse 13, Paul said, I speak to you Gentiles, I am the apostle of the Gentiles, but not so with Peter. Paul and Peter had agreed to go in different directions. But Peter, in writing to the Jews of the dispersion, those who were scattered because of the rebellion of the leaders of Israel, Peter, in his first epistle, says to those who, the Jews who are going to go through Daniel's 70th week, in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 5, who are kept by the power of God, through faith, unto salvation, ready to be revealed, go ahead and click, in the last time. Now, the last time and the last days are the same period of time. There are not different last days and different last times. Peter says, in the last times, chapter 1, verse 5, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. In the last times, or the last days, Israel will go through a period of unmatched, unparalleled trial and trouble like they have never experienced before. That's why Matthew chapter 24, verse 13 says, he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And that means exactly what it says. Israel's salvation and your salvation are not the same. Yours is by grace, through faith, apart from any work. And God knows that in this day and age, we don't endure very much in this age of grace. And your salvation is not based on you, your enduring anything. You don't have the promise that if you endure, you'll be saved. You have the promise that if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you will be saved. To Israel, the promise is that for now, for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. And during that 7-year period, according to Matthew chapter 24, verse 14, they were to preach the gospel of the kingdom. And this gospel is not the gospel of the grace of God. That was not revealed yet. Paul was still an enemy of Jesus Christ and his followers. Paul hated the followers of Jesus Christ. The gospel of the kingdom was associated with, go ahead and click, the gospel was associated with signs, wonders, and diverse miracles of the Holy Spirit. This is exactly what the disciples of Christ did as they went forth in the first chapters of the book of Acts, reoffering the kingdom to Israel. The signs and wonders and the miracles were for a visible witness so that Israel could see something miraculous because, you remember, the Jews require a sign. So it's very important for us to understand that when the Bible mentions the last days, go ahead and click, that it is always in the context of prophecy. Only the prophets of Israel mention the last days in connection with the day of the Lord. According to Peter, go ahead and click, the day of the Lord was going to happen 7 years after Pentecost. Over there, the day of the Lord was the next thing on God's agenda until they stoned Stephen. Then prophecy was put aside, the prophetic program was interrupted, and God revealed the mystery that had been hid in ages and for generations. When the mystery program is complete and we're raptured out of here, God will again resume his dealings with Israel according to prophecy, and the prophecy concerning the day of the Lord will be fulfilled. You know, I would not be surprised if after the rapture, when God raises up the 12 tribes of Israel, the 144,000 evangelists, that one of them will stand up somewhere and say, "This is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel." Now, I don't have any scripture to prove that or substantiate that, but I wouldn't be surprised if at the end, after the church is gone, they come on the scene going, "Okay, this is that which Joel spoke about. The prophetic clock is resumed. The prophetic clock has started ticking again." You see? And then he'll quote verses 19 and 20. Go ahead and click. "And I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. Then the sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and notable day of the Lord come." So the next time that this is quoted, and I do believe it will be quoted again, but that's just my own opinion, because the prophetic clock will begin, and it will begin right where God was dealing with Israel when they stoned Stephen, and God stopped the clock. And so he will resume his dealings with Israel. The only difference is that the next time that the prophetic program is resumed, there will be no interruption. There will be no stoning of Stephen. There will be no church age reintroduced. There will be 7 years of tribulation. "And he that shall endure unto the end, that person shall be saved." So when you're talking about the last days, you must always understand that in the prophets' minds, the revelation that they received from God never included a church age. That was a mystery. That was a secret. Not even they knew about this. And this is exactly how it's unfolding today, what you have on the chart before you. But according to prophecy, that mystery was hidden in God. Now, thank God for the mystery, because you and I come in there. Now, it's probably a bad thing to say, but thank God they stoned Stephen. Because had they not stoned Stephen, we wouldn't be here. But of course, in the omniscience of God, God knew it was going to happen the way it did. But the way that we look at the book of Acts today is determined by our understanding of what came before, not what followed after. Whenever you go into the epistles of Paul and you read revelation that was given to Paul after the mystery was revealed to him, and you bring that into God's prophetic program with Israel, you will always end up in trouble, because then you need to go to Acts chapter 2 and you say, well, when you're baptized in water, then you're added to the church. And of course, nothing could be more foolish than that, because you're added to the church the moment you believe on Jesus Christ, according to 1 Corinthians 12:13. "For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body." That's what you're in. You're in the body of Christ. What could you be added to after that? You don't find one verse in Pauline theology that tells you to join a local church or a local assembly. You cannot join anything after you're in the body of Christ. You've been joined to Christ. You become one with Christ. And we're one with each other. Every believer in Jesus Christ in this world is a member of the body of Christ. What can you join? You see, that's a man-made theology, and that's why we've changed it here. We don't have a membership anymore, if you've read our new constitutions. But, you see, this is how it unfolded, okay? So now you understand what the Bible means when it says the last days. They mean exactly what you see on that chart, but the mystery was missing when it was spoken by the prophets. Amen? Let's pray. Lord, we're thankful for this short PowerPoint presentation, which is exactly what it is. It's right to the point. It just lays it out the way it is without complicating it, so that anyone who genuinely wants to understand the truth will look at the verses in the Bible and will let them say what they mean and won't add to them or take away from them. And how beautiful the Word of God is when we rightly divide the Word of truth. We're so thankful for this understanding of knowing where we fit into the Word of God. We're in the but now period, and we're very thankful for that. And we'll just pray that this will be a blessing to for all those who will watch this presentation and who will click when they're told to. And we do thank you for your blessing. In that name that is above every name, the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.